Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It's always game day in Cleveland. Glad you're listening to us. And make sure you subscribe to the feed because we love having you on board. And it's always game day in Cleveland feed. So simple to get to. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to be a part of the show, you can always find us at Game Day CLE. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Rookie minicamp. First chance to see guys like David Bell, Jerome Ford. I mean, it was an interesting first weekend for the rookies. Perrion Winfrey, also not afraid to talk. And then a couple of names popping out, especially a quarterback that ended up getting signed. What was your big takeaway from a rookie minicamp?
Well, my biggest takeaway was the one guy that I wanted to see, I didn't get to see, and that was Cade York. I wanted to see him kick some field goals. Fun story, they put in a new heating and drainage system, and with that comes brand new fields on top of it out in Berea. So there wasn't anywhere for him to kick footballs because all the uprights were down. They had to take all the goalposts down to put in the new fields. And then obviously, you know, the fields are still coming in. So Cade went down to First Energy Stadium to get his work in and to kick. And he also, leading up to rookie minicamp, visited with Phil Dawson for about 40 minutes on the phone to kind of get the 411 on just, you know, what it's like to kick in Cleveland, kick at First Energy Stadium, what to look for. You know, what made Phil so successful in his time here and whatnot. So, the one guy that I really wanted to see, and I was planning on sending out video of every single kick because I think nothing gets Browns fans more excited on Twitter than either Deshaun Watson blocking me or me posting kicker video. Kicker video, always a hit on Twitter. So I was unable. We were talking about, you know, you go in wanting to get something done. You just want to get I actually left rookie minicamp feeling like I didn't accomplish what I set out to accomplish. And that was just to post an obnoxious amount of Cade York kicking video. So maybe OTAs. Or the veteran minicamp in June, I hope to have a ridiculous amount of Cade York video content for you on Twitter.
Darryl, does that make you like need to go home and drink a beer? Does that make you really feel like you failed as a human being by not being able to get kicker video?
Well, I don't want to go as far as being a failure as a human being. That's a little harsh coming from you, Andy. But yeah,
okay, I just want to make sure you're okay.
No,
because
yeah, you know, an alcoholic beverage may have been consumed Friday night. In the comfort of my own home. I think that is you know, fair to say. And I kind of felt like my audience was let down. You know what I mean? Like they expect that of me, and I was unable to deliver. But in all seriousness, you know. You can't read a lot into rookie minicamp, and I wrote about this a little bit on Friday, just because rookie minicamp is a little different under Kevin Stefanski than I'm used to. First of all, there are only 27 guys there, okay? That's number one, all right? You had 9 draft picks, 13 undrafted free agents, 3 tryout players, and then 2 members of the active roster were participating. So it wasn't like there was 50 guys at this thing where you could have offense and go against defense and things like that. So that's a little different. I liken it to watching a football camp, which I get, well, it's called a mini camp, right? So, well, it looked like a mini camp in that respect, right? A lot of one-on-one time, position coaches with players, a lot of teaching going on. And again, I've seen that over the years with coaching staffs, but I would say the last 2 years with Kevin Stefanski, his staff very super hands-on with these young players, which is kind of cool to see, to watch these coaches legitimately teach the young kids, these rookies, you know, intricacies of the game. So that's kind of fun to watch. But other than that, there's not a lot of insight, not a lot of analysis, not a lot of breakdown you can have when it's that type of practice. I'll say David Bell, quality first impression. I remember a year ago, you know, Anthony Schwartz got off to a little bit of a rough start. A couple of footballs hit the ground in practice, which, you know, caught our attention a little bit, considering he's a draft pick. David Bell, hands like glue, caught everything thrown to him. So it was good to see that. But yeah, just not a lot to, I guess, break down or take away or feel like that, you know, a certain player stood out just because, again, the environment was more about teaching rather than competition between, you know, skill positions.
There are a couple of little storylines out of minicamp. I know I had my eye on because he's a Heights guy and because I've known the family forever. But Malik Smith, brother of Tyreek Smith, who got drafted by Seattle, who was who started at Ohio State as a defensive end. And he had his tryout, but he never played football before. He was a basketball player. He was at UNC Asheville. And his brother kept telling him, Tyreek would tell Malik, hey, you should play football, you should play football. Well, he didn't. And then he went to Ohio State's workout, and then the Browns asked him to come to rookie minicamp. Terry Pluto had a follow-up on him in the paper the other day just saying, you know, hey, in his headline it was pretty funny. It was like, how do you wear a helmet? Because Malik hadn't wore a helmet since fifth grade.
Right.
So they asked him about, you know, what size pads do you wear? And he has, like, no idea. I do think this is a great story if one day, 3 years from now, this guy's playing in the NFL somewhere because someone wants to take a chance on him, or he ends up in another league and learns how to play the game a little bit more, or just tries to find something else. But, I mean, he's 6'4", 267. And, you know, he's just hoping for anything he can. I just think, like, that story to me is just kind of fun. And it's on a personal level. But the other story I thought was Felix Harper, the quarterback out of Alcorn State, that they brought in as an invitee, and now he's got a chance. They signed him after this weekend to let him go, and they were saying that his arm is phenomenal. And when you take Baker Mayfield out of the mix, I mean, if Harper's here and Dobbs is here – by the way, you need 5 quarterbacks for camp, don't you? 4 or 5 quarterbacks for camp, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, they also had Jake Fromm over the weekend.
Oh, that's right.
They needed people to throw footballs, so he's destined to potentially be a practice squad guy. But
well, that's pretty good because he didn't have a job 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, no. I'm not trying to downplay it, but I mean, let's just kind of be realistic. Let's not get all excited that they, you know, found the next Tom Brady here. Deshaun Watson's the number one. You know, Jacoby Brissett's number two. Josh Dobbs is number three. Harper is now number four. And Baker Mayfield's number five. So that's the depth chart at the position. You know, it was interesting. There's another basketball player turned tight end that's here too, Marcus Santos Silva. And he's another guy that hasn't played football in a long time. Played college basketball at Texas Tech. Is, you know, making the conversion. Another big dude, hard to miss as well. 6'6", over 260. Kevin Stefanski talked about why they like those type of guys and how, you know, the basketball rim protection and you know, going after basketballs really applies and translates on the football field and whatnot and what they look for. As far as guys that have that potential to convert, it's not something that's foreign. It is unique. Let's, you know, not downplay that aspect of it, but we have seen it, happen regularly where you have basketball players convert to football. So he's another guy that when we get to training camp that I think Browns fans are going to want to really pay attention to. The Colts were looking at him. The Ravens were going to look at him. He ended up signing with the Browns because they offered him a contract after his tryout, and he didn't want to risk going to these other tryouts and going through these mini camps or whatever and not getting any offers. So Marcus Santos Silva, keep an eye on him in training camp too.
And then they also have Zaire Mitchell-Payton also on the – I'm just looking at our lads. They still have seven tight ends listed. I wonder how much – Kevin's going to – I wonder what the tight end impact will be next year, and I wonder if Kevin rethinks what he has, although I still think and maybe we'll leave everybody with this on this thought, that David Njoku is probably your second most confident receiver outside of a running back, right, going into next season right now. I mean, if you had to throw the ball to a guy that was on the field, Amari Cooper would be your number one target. And then I just feel like the wide receiving core is just a mishmash. You know, it's Donovan Peoples-Jones, it's Anthony Schwartz. It's, you know, I don't know if you're talking about a confidence level. And maybe let me circle back to the beginning of what we were talking about. Do you think they need to go out and get a free agent wide receiver? I do, but I don't think they're going to.
Well, that's the thing. Do I think they need to? Sure. Are they going to? No. They've got you got Cooper. Four draft picks plus Jakeem Grant. Quick math, I believe that adds up to six. And that's usually how many receivers they keep at the position. And then let's not forget the Swiss Army knife there. Is he a running back? Is he a receiver? Dimitri Felton, their sixth round pick from a year ago. They're set at the position. Now it's going to be a matter of them, you know, figuring out, you know, who can do what. Who fits into what role, obviously, outside of Amari Cooper. I really feel like that they have told us how they feel about Anthony Schwartz and Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think we are more concerned about that position group, Andy, than the Browns are. I honestly believe that. Because I think if Andrew Berry felt like they absolutely had to have a veteran to add to this group, he'd go out and do it. But he's not doing that. So I understand the conversation, but I'm just also trying to keep it real for people. Like, they're telling you how they feel about their receiver group. You know, Amari's the number one. They drafted David Bell in the third round. He, I think, by the end of the season, could ultimately end up being the number two receiver. They love right. Anthony Schwartz. They love DPJ. Michael Woods is going to get a crack at this thing. Maybe Jakeem Grant, who's primarily a returner, but maybe he gets a look on offense as well a little bit. Obviously, they don't want to wear him out, but no. Maybe he gets a little bit. So the numbers just don't add up for them to be bringing in another veteran. And again, going back to the Jarvis Landry conversation that we had earlier in this podcast, like, the writing was on the wall. Sometimes you just have to believe what they're trying to tell you. And so when it comes to the receiver position, I think they feel a lot better about it than we do. And obviously, Andrew Berry been doing this a little longer than we have. Kevin Stefanski has the job for a reason. So I think sometimes you just have to trust in their evaluation. Now, if we go through the season and they aren't getting the production that they need at at that position, then guess what we're going to be talking about all through the season and all through next offseason? They should have gone out and brought in another veteran. But right now, with the investment in draft picks that they have, four guys in 3 years, plus Amari Cooper, plus Jakeem Grant, plus Demetric Felton, Andrew Berry's sitting there thinking, I'm good. We've got the guys. This is who we're going to go with. Let's give these young kids an opportunity to make an impact. And we got one guy that we're paying him a ton of money. Keep in mind, they're paying Amari Cooper $6 million more than they paid Odell Beckham Jr., or that they paid Jarvis Landry, because Jarvis and Odell were in that $14 million and change range from a salary standpoint. So between them, that's $28 million. That's a lot of money for two players. So now they're paying Amari the $20 million, okay? And you've got DPJ, Schwartzy, David Bell, Michael Woods on these rookie-level contracts as third, sixth-round picks that are very, very team-friendly. So, yeah, sometimes you just have to believe the Browns when they're trying to tell you something. And in the case of the receivers, Andrew Berry's been telling us for weeks now, we're good.
I hear you, and I think you're right. And we sit here and talk about it for 4 hours a day, how we think they're going to – or what wide receiver we'd like to see them bring in. I just don't see it happen. Daryl, as always, it's been a blast. Let folks know, we normally drop on Mondays and Thursdays, but if something happens, you know we'll do an instant podcast right away, especially when there's major breaking news. We will have one there for you. And, sometimes things change, like last week with the schedule game. We pushed over to Friday. So hang tight, and the easiest way to stay on board is to let the podcast come to you. And how do you do that? You just subscribe to It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. For Daryl Ryder, Meredith Kane, our awesome producer, I'm Andy Baskin. Again, remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. It's always game day in Cleveland.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.